Hello and welcome to the Trouble LA podcast, the podcast for your Indiana Pacers. With me, as always, is noted Reggie Miller superfan, Eric Steven. How's it going?
Oh, God. Yeah. Dear God.
I've moved on with my life. Go like Kings, like, go Pacers.
I liked Reggie Miller.
But yeah.
He was all right. He served as a useful speed bump once to one of my teams.
We're recording this on a Tuesday, the first day of the World Series. The Dodgers are not in it.
Wait, what?
What?
That was tonight?
Crap. Yeah. I saw David Ross and I just assumed.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have anything to add. Back to you. No, just kidding.
Like, there's just not much to talk about that game, is there? Like, Kershaw was iffy. Offense was way more than iffy.
It was your classic sort of, it was season end, fuel the haters kind of game.
Yep.
Kershaw, like, did not have it at all. The offense did not show up. They literally sent the minimum number of batters to the plate.
Defense didn't really show up at all.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like in the beginning, it's like the first inning, Kershaw gave up two runs. The double was like a crap hit down the line and then bounced into the stands, and then Andrew Tolles dropped a fly ball. Like, it was just like, it was a garbage inning, and you're like, okay, this is how it's going down. And then Kershaw, like, from there was just terrible. Like, pretty much.
Yep.
It's like, it's just, oh, okay, it's not going to be just that. Dodgers offense didn't show up. They had two hits, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think one, they also got on an error, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was a, I can't remember the other. They had
the
three
Baez
guys on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. When the greatest player in all history actually made an error. It was weird. Three guys on, all of them erased. Reddick was picked off, and then two double plays, which is like more than the Dodgers. I think that matched what the Dodgers turned in their 11 playoff games. Game six was like, from a Dodgers standpoint, it was, by all accounts or intents and purposes, was terrible. And then it was pretty, like, great atmosphere for the Cubs, like, because they were so, like, starved for a pennant. Like, it was pretty electric, I guess, at Wrigley Field. And you could kind of sense it just watching the game. But, that game was not close whatsoever. So kind of difficult way for the season to end, especially when you just look like a few days before the Dodgers literally led the series 2-1. And had aspirations of actually getting to the World Series, but didn't happen again. And so here we are.
So yeah, we could do an hour talking about that game and how depressed we feel, or we can do what all but one team's fan bases do every year and talk about next year.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Let's do that.
You
and I are going to take next week off just because it's still sort of World Series time, not a lot to talk about. Get a little break in us, and then we're gonna have a nice little off-season primer in a couple of weeks. So we're gonna do a whole mailbag episode today, right? You don't want to change your mind on me?
No, we got a bunch of questions.
Great questions. We're gonna kind of gloss over some of the off-season questions just because we're going to be answering these for a good four months to come, and we don't really have almost no information, so we'll take a little guess at it, but we're not gonna spend too much time with it. You ready?
Sure.
All right. D. Yun Frankenstein, if I want to use his Twitter handle, how much will it hurt to see Kenley Jansen pitching his 2017 home games in San Francisco?
Nope.
Starting off with some happy times.
It would look terrible. It is kind of funny.
Because when it's a starter that leaves, at least it's, there's only so many games you can face them per year.
Right.
A reliever, every single time you lose in a close game, there he is.
I think, it's weird. Like, I don't necessarily see the Giants necessarily as huge, players in the free agent market. Like, I think they're going to be interested in some guys, but like they kind of, they certainly have money. I'm not saying they're poor, but they did kind of shoot their wad last year with the free agent contracts and stuff. So I can't see them being super active, but it is there's sort of a chilling underpinning or underbelly to this offseason that their like two biggest needs are third base and closer, and the Dodgers' two biggest free agents are third base and closer. So like there's like this worst possible case scenario where they happen to like
don't say it.
The highest bidder for Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner. So that's sort of this weird underbelly. That said, I mean, I don't expect that to happen. I expect the Dodgers to at least be a party to the negotiations in both of those cases. So I don't know if they'll be able to re-sign both, but it won't. I don't think it'll be for lack of trying. So I think the Dodgers. I think it's less likely the Dodgers re-sign Kenley Jansen than it's likely they re-sign him, but that doesn't mean they're not the favorite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think there's so many teams, and really, like, it just needs to be, it takes one, like, crazy person bidder to sort of go above and beyond if it comes to that.
It's a thin free agent class, which means a few things. It means other teams are going to be desperate to sign who they can get, and Kenley and Justin certainly are up there.
Yeah.
But it also means that the Dodgers, you know, may view that they don't have a lot of other ways to improve the team unless it comes through trade, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't sign both. Like, that wouldn't surprise me, but I would be surprised if neither re-sign.
I'm kind of with you on that. But also, the same token, I think it's way less likely that, like, at least Jansen probably signs with the Giants, so we'll see. But, I mean, it's probably just a bias of just not being able to sort of fathom it. So that could be playing a factor here, too.
Do you watch The Walking Dead?
I've never seen a single minute.
I have seen the first, I think, 8 episodes. There's a Walking Dead question from Joe that we can't answer.
There's a few, right? Like,
oh, are there? well, the first one is from Joe, and we cannot answer it.
The only reason I know, I thought for sure you were like a Walking Dead head, nope. As they call it.
I read the comic regularly through the first 40 or so issues and then fell off.
I just know because people were talking about the Sunday episode, and I knew from context clues, I think we got probably 3 or 4 questions on it based on a couple of the wording of some of the other questions. So, but I didn't. I've never seen it. Yep. So,
moving on. Another question from Mr. Frankenstein. Games 4, 5, and 6 of the NLCS were the worst 3-game stretch since what?
That's a good question.
My immediate thought was the Mets series.
The 06?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had that was the two outs at home. Joe Bimel getting into a bar fight. then not really a clunker at home when they came back down 2-0. I don't know. That was for me, that doesn't track. I think the 95 and 96 seasons were the 96 was against the Braves, and I think that had a couple close ones in LA. The Dodgers really, like, they didn't even take advantage of their disadvantage in those years. Like, the way in the early years of the wild card era was set up, where it was best of 5 was first 2 on the road and then 3 home games, which is like a terrible way to set up a series. So the Dodgers were actually the underdog in both 95 and 96, but they started at home both times, and both times they lost both games. It's like, what the hell, right? Like, to at least take some advantage in that, yeah? Right? And then so the Reds, I just remember I was probably just a stupid, angry college kid at the time, so that resonates with me a little more. I just remember being so frustrated at that series, and then Nomo got, like, just completely destroyed in game 3 in Cincinnati. So I'd be more likely to say 95, the 3-game sweep against the Reds. But if you want to go back even further, someone I think had sort of jumped the gun to answer this on Twitter and said 85, and that's a pretty good one because The Dodgers were up 2-0 on the Cardinals, and then at home, they went back and lost all three in St. Louis, but the last two were brutal. The Dodgers had leads, I think, at least in the last two. The game five was Tom Niedenfuhr giving up a home run to Ozzie Smith, who had literally never hit a home run left-handed in his life. Then the next game, Tom Niedenfuhr giving up the home run to Jack Clark in the ninth inning. But what always strikes me about that is we talk about like the sort of the modern or the sort of this rebirth of the fireman closer, at least in the postseason. That was the second time Niedenfuhr had faced Jack Clark that game. He struck him out earlier in the game. Brutal losses for 85. So for me, it's either 85 or 95. That's what I would compare those last three games to.
Sure. I guess my thought is that the Dodgers were underdogs going into this series. So while it was embarrassing and it hurt, especially since the Dodgers were so close when they were up 2-1, to me, I feel about as bad as I did in the Mets series.
That makes sense. I think it was more like the, I mean, no one's saying like the, you know, that the Cubs weren't the favorites, but the Dodgers, they were up 2-1, and I think it's just the way they played. It was so sloppy. They made like four errors in the one game, and just no like, you know, good bullpen outside of Kenley Jansen in the last three. And but what I was going to add, I forgot to the in 2000. They kind of run together, but probably. In 2009 would be a three-game stretch because the Dodgers went. They had home field advantage that year against the Phillies, and they split the first two in LA, and they went to Philly and lost all three, including another Matt Stairs game. And so that was a pretty brutal three-game stretretch too. So maybe 2009. I had mentally blocked that out or just not remembered it. So probably 2009 is a better answer.
Frank asks, will the Dodgers make a run at anyone at the rumored Detroit fire sale? I'd like to see Verlander and Kinsler in blue.
I mean, like, I've only been tangentially sort of keeping track of this. I'll believe the Tigers will start selling when I see it. I don't think that's a thing. You know, like, Mike Gillis
still they have so many assets sort of still in the back end of their prime that it would... Seems like an odd time for a fire sale to me, but what do I know?
Well, and plus, like, their owner is, like, you know, on, you know, I don't know how old, he's, like, late 80s. He's not going to, like, rebuild right now. So, unless he, like, either dies or completely, like, you know, gives up control or whatever, I don't think they're going to sell just yet. So, I'm not really buying that they're selling, I haven't really paid much attention to it.
Dustin asks, seriously, how messed up is Clayton Kershaw's back?
Yeah, so it seems like it's definitely not, I mean, I guess a weird way to put it, not 100% for sure. You know, he missed over 10 weeks with the herniated disc. Worked hard to come back. The Dodgers insist like that. You know, they're going to go through whatever like the exit physical with all the players and stuff. But they said we had this sort of post mortem meeting with Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman on Monday. The way Friedman put it was that. Said we'd be surprised if like he needs like surgery. So it sounds like it's more like he just needs like a full off season of rest basically, or whatever rest he needs. Like he's just going to get during the off season. The rest he probably in an ideal situation probably just should have got from the start. But he obviously tried to come back and for good reason. So I think he switched around his, between starts sort of routine when he came back, to sort of account for what he could and couldn't do But that said, he came pretty close to being like, you know, Kershaw at times. You know, we saw down the stretch, but obviously still limited. So I don't know. I mean, I do wonder how much longer he could have kept going. You know, like if this were the mid, obviously the middle season is a little different. Like maybe he had just enough in the tank to do what he did, and it's sort of just sort of. They said he felt like physically okay on Monday, Sunday and Monday, which was after the start on Saturday. So I'm not saying he just was like hurt or whatever on Saturday. He just didn't have it. But I do wonder how much longer he could have kept going at that pace. But I think it's more of a case of like less case of needing surgery. Although I guess if he does, we'll find out. But it's more just him needing like a lot of rest, and then we'll see going to next year how that's going to affect him. But I would say pretty messed up would be the answer to that.
I'm going to ask the next two together. Kind of go together. Dodger Doodle asks, who in the organization not named Pedro Baez is a realistic closer option? And then Travis asks, if you can only bring back Jansen or Turner, who do you and how do you replace the other within reason? I say this because I bring Turner back. As much as I love Kenley, I just think third base is going to be harder to replace. Because I think relief is easier to replace with depth than just a single player. That said, I don't have a great answer, like Libertor question mark, but
yeah, I guess, I mean, of all the guys, it's probably Dayton. I mean,
okay,
but like, there's no real obvious one, you know, like
Libertor at his peak has shown that signs of closer material, but that's also been marred by bad periods and injury history. So,
yeah, but I don't think he. I don't know if he strikes out enough.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I think Dayton's closer to that. But even that, like, that's a tough call. So I don't know. But yeah, I think you're probably right in that Turner, if you had to choose just one, if only because they're like. It's not the same, but like you could just free agent only. You could sign Melanson. I'm excluding Aroldis Chapman because I think they're going to stay away from him the same reason.
Yeah,
they stay
you
away
don't
from
nix that trade and then decide, it's fine.
Yeah,
I think
right. And so I don't think he's going. He's an option. So, but Mark Melanson is like a reasonable fallback if you. Don't get Kenley. He's not Kenley, and it's a disappointment. But it's something you could potentially live with or whatever. But I don't know. I
guess the only thing that seems weird to me is that their dollar numbers going to be that different to where that's the breaking line. I think they're both going to get a sizable amount of money, and I think the decision is: do we put a sizable amount of money into one reliever, or do we not? Would be my guess. You never know. Like, weird things happen. Kendrick's deal, for instance, last year would not have guessed that. Something similar could happen. But I think they're both going to enter the boatload territory. And at that point, I think it's a sort of a binary decision.
Yeah, I think so, too. But then also, like, the other options are really... at third, it becomes basically like a trade situation. I mean, they could trade for closer as well. But, I mean, there's not really, in the high-end closer market, there's not really a ton available. So the other option at third is the weird rumor of Evan Longoria, who has 6 years and $100 million left on his deal, and it was really good for Tampa Bay. So you're entering a territory of obviously, like giving up a lot. And if you're going to talk to Tampa, you might as well try to get Chris Archer too, and or Logan Forsythe or whatever. So you're talking potential huge deal there. But that's sort of the fallback there. So I think that's why it's easier to sign Turner. And if you just had to sign the one, I think I'm with you. It's Turner.
I have a a question for you. For observing the front office as long as you have, as long as they've been in play, do you think they try to make that trade first to be from a leverage position, able to kind of not worry about the free agents as much, or did they see where the free agent chips fall and then go to the trade market afterwards?
That's a good question. I don't necessarily think they're going to try to strike first. I'm sure they'll just, you know, probably like they like trade. I think discussions happen a lot, and I think it's a matter of like just sort of keeping in touch and knowing where you stand. So I think I don't think they necessarily are going to get Longoria like in early free agency, like early November, right? Like the first couple, they're not going to say like, well, we're going to preempt Turner and just go get Longoria or whatever. I can't see that happening. I think it's more of a case of like just keeping tabs with Tampa and saying, what, you know, where are we at here? What would it take? And then what about if we included this guy? What about this? What about that? And then you sort of have in the back of your mind, they'll have in the back of their mind what it would take, but maybe still playing the Turner market as well. It's tough to say. Like, I don't think they're going to be forced to act one way or the other. So I don't think it's going to like force their hand.
Joe is back with another The Walking Dead question. He wants us to debate. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Never.
Okay. So I can handle half of this. He wants to talk about the Oberyn Martell death scene, which is my favorite scene in the book and the show. So I don't care what happened in The Walking Dead. It's automatically funny. Dodger Doodle back. Man, we're getting some repeats interspersed here. Asks, assuming the Dodgers could sign Cespedes, why would they give up a lot more than a comp pick to get Braun instead?
I'm trying to think here. Like, I guess it's more because Cespedes would, like, what you have with Braun, right, is, like 4 years and $76 million. That's his contract left. And so obviously you're giving up stuff to get him. But I think with Cespedes, it's a matter of like, you know, I don't know how much, what's his total cost going to be. But I mean, he's walking away from, I think it's like 2 years and $48 million if he opts out. So I would, he's looking at something like wanting to get $25 to $30 million a year, and probably not a short-term deal. So it's a pretty significant difference, I think, in the dollars. So that's probably why. You would obviously, I think what his point was, you're giving up a draft pick to sign Cespedes in that case. But with Braun, you're giving up whatever you give up. So it's a valid question, but I think it's just an issue of the dollar difference is going to be pretty huge, I think. I don't know. I mean, that's sort of where they're at. And also, there's also the issue of is this just the Mets be like, wait, like it seems like Cespedes is a good fit for the Mets, and it's just a matter of time before they sort of figure out a way to rework his deal in New York. So he might not be as much of a free agent as he is. You know what I mean? Like, he might be just...
If they're near a Braun deal, it's the bird in hand kind of thing. Why wait to see if the free agent thing works out?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's more of it than just like a
and binary. We don't even know if the Braun deal is even being revisited. You know, those are the rumors, so... Speculation.
It's just an option. I mean, it's just a hypothetical option, but so who knows?
Dodger Fan Weekly asks, how will the 2016 starting staff differ from the 2017 starting staff? This is the kind of question we'll do our best to answer, but it's really hard to answer. I would imagine Urias starts in the rotation.
Maybe.
Yeah, like I'm a little more bullish on that than I know some other people are, but
it's not because of like talent. Like,
no, right. I'm taking all facts in consideration. I still think it's going to happen, and I realize I have a more bullish stance than
at some point they're gonna probably limit his innings, and it's just a matter of when do you do it.
Right.
So
that's fair.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, so I think he's definitely going to be a part of the rotation and a big part of it, but maybe not from day one.
I think we can safely say that whereas going in last year we weren't sure if he would, and this year we can say he will be. How
for
and
sure.
when, we don't know. Other yeah. than that, I think there's just this front office knows how to and likes to trade, so it's going to be really hard to see. I have a hard time imagining they will not add a pitcher in some form.
Yeah, I think so too. Whether it's Rich Hill returning or you know, like some trade like Chris Archer, Chris Sale, Jose Quintana, like all these, I think a lot of this is in play. Like so, it's really it's like you said, this is the early part of the offseason. We don't really know yet, but I think so too. They're gonna figure out a way to sort of improve the stock there.
I have I'll put it this way. I think I'll bring it the maybe the most controversial starter. Over under 20 games started, Scott Kazmir.
First of all, you have to do over unders. I have to have a half.
20 and a half.
Okay, so you're just in 2017.
Yeah.
For
the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Sure. nice. I'm gonna say over.
Okay.
That's
where I'm leaning now too. But man, am I thin on that.
Well, okay. So there's this like weird. Joel Sherman. I think he's mentioned a couple times in his national column that he sort of puts it out there like that. A Scott Kazmir could opt out. Which I think is crazy. So Kazmir
was really bad last year.
two years and $32 million. I mean, the starting pitching market is terrible this year, but it's not that terrible.
Yeah.
Like to where he's like guaranteed to beat $32 million.
Like maybe he gets an extra year in the form of an option, but even then, I kind of doubt it.
Maybe. So, but then also there, and then, but he keep like he mentioned like. Yeah, but if he opts out, then also the Dodgers would get a pick. I'm like, well, they'd have to offer him a qualifying offer at that point. But that said, I'm not putting it past him, like because it's a game theory thing at this point. If Kazmir is at the point where he opts out, right, and you're the Dodgers, his confidence is that he's going to beat $32 million, so. You offering 1 year $17.2 million, while on some level I get it, where you could look this gift horse in the mouth and say we're completely free of this obligation, thank you for your services, goodbye. But I think there's something to be said for he does opt out, you play on that confidence and you make him decline the counteroffer, because at the worst case scenario. You've just essentially like
cut a year off his deal. Yeah,
you have your obligation, and even less than that. So, but with the upside that if he declines, he's going to get you a draft pick. So
that said, I think he just does opt out.
Yeah, I think the far more likely thing is that Kazmir remains with his contract, 2 years, $32 million. So that's where they're at with that.
Justin asks, what would it take to add Wade Davis with Kenley Jansen to solidify the bullpen?
That'd be pretty good. The only thing only issue I have with that is like what's Wade Davis's like timetable? I know that was wasn't he hurt?
He came back at the end of the year. I should know this living in Kansas City. He came back at the end of the year. I'm just making sure he didn't go back down at some point.
Okay.
He came back and he didn't. He looked okay. if I'm memory serves, and this is, you know, me watching the every game I can watch at the bar when I play trivia. So
he has an option for next year. Okay, you know what it was? I think for some reason in my head, I mixed Wade Davis up with Greg Holland for a second, in that Holland had the surgery.
Yeah, Wade Davis was hurt last year,
but he didn't have the surgery.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's right. He had like the elbow thing, but like did like a PRP or something, right? Or I don't even know. Something, maybe, was that right? I don't even know.
No.
But yeah. So
that said, I think if the Dodgers are looking to get Wade Davis, that's to be able to say bye to Kinley.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe I should take that back. They were willing to make the Chapman trade last year, so maybe I shouldn't say that they're in this. We only need one elite guy, and we'll figure depth out from a smattering of Blanton-esque signings. So maybe not. Maybe not.
I think they try to find a way to do the super closers, or the double closer bullpen.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense, especially when Doc showed pretty good like if Joe Blanton was the Joe Blanton of the regular season, a lot of his pitching maneuvering looks like just stone cold brilliant.
But also, yeah, and just imagine how freeing it is when with Kenley, or if Wade Davis is your number two,
yeah,
or Mark Melanson's your number two, or whatever, you know. Like, but that said, with Wade Davis, I think that probably involves, is much more reliant on Kansas City being willing to sell than the Dodgers being willing to buy.
Yeah, and I, knowing the sort of at the feeling around Kansas City is, generally it's they have one more year, and then we start looking at fire sale, because Hosmer goes up, Moustakas goes up. You have a lot of players that are going to be hard for them to retain, especially with Gordon taking his deal, which was still a hometown discount deal, but.
Maybe like he's more of a midseason guy, because they'd have to be struggling, and then if Kansas City says, okay, fine, you know, he's a pending free agent, we'll sell him, but not in the off season. That's my thought, at least.
The Lamb asks, Kike, WTF this year? Dad's cancer adjustments, it seems so crazy.
Yeah, by all accounts, had a terrible season. His dad was suffering, you know, going through cancer. I think he had his last chemo treatment, I want to say, recently, or like came through or something and had good news. That was at least good news. But I mean, dealing with that has to be, obviously took a toll. So I don't know what effect that had on Kiki, but he was bad. I mean, he started off the season pretty good in April, and then it was kind of like the last 5 months didn't hardly do anything. So it was really brutal, brutal season. But then that said, like, you know, people are so quick to, like, you know, you, instead of remembering that, like, baseball is this really difficult, like, game of adjustments, they just think, like, whatever just happened is the lot going forward. Like, last year was like, well, the Kike is like this like great hitter last year. Like, he was the best hitter in the majors against lefties. So obviously he's going to be, it's just a matter of time before he has an everyday job, and he's going to be great going forward. And it's like, all right, maybe it's somewhere in between. Like, he's not the worst thing in the world. And so I think he maybe just needs an off season to get over it, or figure out exactly what's going on. But
or maybe he'll never be who he was going to be. But there are plenty of players in baseball who have done both. So
yeah. So I mean, I'm not willing to like write him off. It's just, but yeah, certainly different expectations going into next year based on what happened this year. So it's a rough season for him for sure.
He follow-ups with, who plays third if not Turner? How long can Seager play shortstop?
They're not moving Seager at all.
They were adamant about that.
Yeah, then it was kind of weird that even came up as a question, honestly, like the other day. But it did. And then, you know, they're like, no, we're not moving. So I think, so let's say Turner walks. The issue really is they have, you know, Utley is a free agent. Excuse me, I'm yawning. Yeah, Utley is a free agent at second as well. So Howie Kendrick played a billion different positions this year. So I would say my default answer was Howie Kendrick would be there. But I don't know if he's going to be second or third, you know? Like, so it goes back to your thing about why Justin Turner is sort of the guy that they probably need to re-sign if they just do one. I don't really know. Outside of that, I think it's that becomes a point of the offseason of maybe they trade for someone or figure something else out, but maybe it's not even someone in the organization. So we'll see.
David Yun is back with possibly a divisive question. Margaritas, blended or on the rocks?
I already knew this was going to be divisive the moment he asked, because there's clearly one answer.
There's clearly one answer.
And it's blended.
And it's clearly on the rocks. And you're so crazy.
Nope.
You're drinking a popsicle at that point. And it's fine. I like popsicles too. But it's not a classic, wonderful cocktail, the margarita.
I like
You like popsicles. I get it.
It's not a popsicle. It's a Slurpee.
Yeah, okay, fine. It's an icy. Yeah. Enjoy your icy. But, you know, sure, it's a margarita-flavored icy. It's not a cocktail.
Yeah, beautiful.
This is maybe a California thing. You all don't have access to Sonic, so you can't get your slushies in a fast food joint easily, so you have to figure out some other place to do it. The answer is on the rocks.
We have 7-Elevens and AMPs. Like,
the answer is on the rocks. But it's no, on the rocks.
I'm a child. I like it the other way.
More cocktail questions over the offseason, please. I've got strong opinions across the board. Then there's a lot of puns in my Twitter feed as people are making margarita puns. Javier asks, who's getting the most time at second base? It's another Kendrick question. Have to imagine Kendrick is going to want more playing time next year. He picked left field going in the playoffs, so I think he just wants to play, and he's kind of happy to play wherever.
Right.
I want him to play second, please. But
I can't imagine him getting more playing time next year than he did this year. He played a lot. So what he wants and what he gets are
I think he
things.
Meant more playing time at second.
Oh, I got you. Well, okay, I guess. But I was looking, his sort of player review thing is going up tomorrow on Wednesday. And his season was like 4 pretty good months in the middle, terrible April, terrible September. So like overall his worst season since his rookie year. So he's another, you know, question mark going into next season. Like, you know, how much do they, and he didn't start in the postseason. He was a platoon guy. So he starts against lefties only now. And I think that's more than norm going forward, like depending on who they get, obviously. But I think, you know, that's what they're looking at going forward with him rather than super everyday guy.
Roscoe Pete Coltrane asks, unlikely, by why can't the Dodgers sign Blanton, Chapman, Melisson, Kinley, and Utley, moving Utley to third and Kendrick to second and not sign JT? I mean, they can. They won't sign Chapman.
Right.
We don't think they'll sign Chapman.
Right.
Then they could, but
right.
I mean, Utley wasn't. He wasn't without value this year, but he also wasn't very good.
Right. The last like 3-4 months were pretty bad.
Yeah.
That said, they love him in the clubhouse or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I'm not saying he's valueless, but
yeah, sure.
I wouldn't mind in his days as an everyday player at the top of the lineup or over.
But I mean, we've kind of seen this, like. I guess, I don't know, maybe it depends on what you think. I think of all, if let's say they do all that, I think Utley, if they have Kendrick and Utley back next year and no Turner,
it would be
I think
Kendrick
it's more
at
like,
third.
Yes, I think so too, yeah.
Okay, now I have a bunch of people talking about MacBooks, going through, I think that's it for Twitter questions. If I missed you, I'm sorry. We've got a bunch over the last couple of days.
That's okay. We have plenty of
yeah, ask it again. We've got some time to kill. But we do have some to end the podcast. Some questions from Craig.
Yay.
I missed these. Those are the downside of our short playoff podcast. We didn't get to answer these questions. You ready?
Sure.
November, December bring a lot of new movies. Here's a list of 10, although it was just a list of 8. But I'm going to add one to his list of 10 movies coming out. Oh. Just a quick yes or no on will you see this film in the theater?
Okay.
I'm going to add a third vote, which is maybe, which is if people are telling me it's good enough. But by default, I don't assume I will.
Before you start listing the movies, I will say I absolutely love going to movies, even bad movies. I just like going to the theater and watching movies. And during the season, it's hard just time wise. So like I went saw some movies before I left for spring training in February, mm-hmm. and then the next time I saw a movie was the Sunday night the Dodgers clinched. I think I saw Magnificent Seven.
I'm really similar in that it for some reason movie going, with some exceptions over the summer, I'll see some blockbusters I really want to see. But for the most part, it's a winter activity for me. December through March, I love going like on a weekly basis and sometimes doing two or three in a weekend. But for some reason, I just don't care as much when baseball's around.
Yeah, so I'll start like on my off days during the off season. I'll plan it out to where I see two or three movies at a time. Not at a time. I see them in order.
One on your phone, one in the theater.
right. Yeah. So that's I'm probably more inclined to see some of these. I don't. Some genres I just don't care for, so I'm probably not going to see, so maybe my answers will differ.
Yeah. You ready?
Sure.
Doctor Strange.
Nope.
Yes. Really? You don't want to see it? Looks pretty good.
Nope.
Not a comeback fan? Fine. Arrival.
That's with Amy Smart.
Amy Adams, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amy Smart was in Crank and Crank 2. What a terrible set of movies ever. They were great. Okay.
Yeah, this one falls under. If enough people tell me to go see it, I'll see it. But otherwise, not planning on it.
I'm gonna probably see that.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh God, no.
No. Bad Santa 2.
No.
No. Rogue One.
That's. Oh. I was saying about the
Bad Santa 2.
That's like a maybe.
the tail end of a triple header.
Or like no, like a maybe like Netflix or maybe pay per view at home one night or
you say that. I still think you're going to see it at the back end of a triple header at some point. You're going to come to me in January and say the Dollar Theater had it.
First of all, if it fits into like a time window, that could be a thing. So I'm not completely discounting it, but like Bad Santa 1 was just terrible. So I mean it was just stupid.
There's some people who love it, but yeah, not me. Rogue One. Multiple times.
It's not a real Star Wars movie, so probably not.
Multiple times. I will see it opening night. I will see it Christmas Eve with my family. And I'll probably see it again with my family 1 week later. I don't care. Like, even if it's mediocre, I'm going to do it. Assassin's Creed.
God, these are terrible. Nope. No, I'm not going to see that.
Passengers.
Yeah.
Maybe. This falls under that same category for me.
You tell me
to go see it, Eric. I'll go see it.
I'm a big Jen Lawrence fan, as you know. I mean, me and Jen are tight, so yeah. I call her Jen.
J-Law.
No, I do not. That's because I call Jude Law. That's why. So I'm going to see that for sure.
I'm going to add one, La La Land.
Wait, is that the one with Emma Stone?
Yeah.
If you're
gonna watch the Oscar movies, it is the front runner right now. So, director of Whiplash, Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, I think it looks incredible. I'm very excited for it.
The one, and then there's like, isn't there like one that seemed like it was trying to be Oscar bait? Was or there's a couple.
There's more than a couple.
I think I'm getting too mixed up, but. you're the what is it, the exception to the rule? Is that the movie with like the with Warren Beatty as Howard Hughes?
Okay, and yeah, some, yeah.
There's that.
I just know that also, as the Warren Beatty Howard Hughes movie.
And then, right, they should have used that as the title. And then also the one with Jesse Eisenberg as like a 40s, yes, as a 40s writer. And then, like, Steve Carell's in it. It just looks like the biggest writer circle jerk movie of all time.
Those tend to play well with the Oscars.
So. Right, exactly. So
that said, La La Land is about Los Angeles, and it's about a film. I think Ron Gosling plays an actor. No, Emma Stone is an actress. So
those other two movies are...
Cafe like, Society is the movie you're thinking about.
Yeah, if they're nominated, I will probably see them, depending on what they're nominated for. But probably not until then. So
I think you might like La La Land. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's intriguing. So,
second question: any recommendations for binge watching TV shows on Netflix or Amazon Prime for baseball fans with some free time until the season starts? Well, one, you should watch hockey. You all should watch some Canes games. But
I've sort of resolved to. I'm gonna try to do that this year. Is watch. Watch more hockey, and Kings included in that. So I kind of agree with that. That said, like, there are a lot of like shows I'm like woefully behind on, and so I probably not the best person for this, but I'm maybe in a couple. Talk to me in like a month.
Yeah. When I let me binge first. I've got.
Yeah, like I just haven't watched really anything, so. Like I still haven't watched like I watched a couple episodes of Love, the show with Paul Rust and what's her name from Community. I can't remember. No, the other
one. Britta, can't help you.
It's Gillian Jacobs. Okay. Yeah. So that was okay, and then like, but I just like fell off. And I just stopped watching it. I didn't have time and then forgot. And so, it's going to be stuff like that. I'm sure there's going to be some. I haven't even seen the Maria Bamford show on Netflix, which I forgot what the name of it is. But she's like hilarious, and I've heard great things about it. So I'll probably watch that. There's numerous things that I'm just behind on that I just really haven't watched.
I'm similar. Baseball takes up a lot of my active watching experience. I binge a lot of TV, but it tends to be either Star Trek reruns, all varieties, and a bad crime procedural and real crime shows. My wife's favorite show is Forensic Files. So we watch a lot of that. TV I would recommend per se. So.
But nice, it's kind of like, it's not mindless fun because they're fun like little capers, but like, I sort of agree with you there. It's an enjoyable thing to sort of watch. But I think like, when I was living with my cousin, I stayed with them for like a little over, for almost 2 years, I guess. And they watch Criminal Minds a lot, and I never really saw the show.
That is the genre I am speaking of. All the Law and Orders, Criminal Minds, Elementary.
But the best part is, so I grew to like that show quite a bit, not to the point where I'm still watching it now because I don't really watch stuff. But
Three Lane Adventure or Padgett Brewster,
exactly,
returning this season, very exciting.
I got to a point where it was fun to make believe that the show had a theme song, and so every time the show would start, I would just go Criminal Minds, and like it's hilarious to me every time I see. That it's going to be on. I just think of that and I crack myself up. But speaking of binge watching, so I'm looking at my my DVR right now. So I also have like all 8 episodes of Atlanta, which I have not seen yet. And then there's also the Kristen Bell show, which I thought I was re-recording the episodes for, but it turns out I only have one. It's what is it called? It is The Good Place. So I'm going to probably catch up on that. But yeah, so on my DVR though, I have, I already watched in the last like few weeks, during downtime is, old, and I'm talking like 30 to 40 years old, old episodes of Card Sharks on game on a game show network offshoot called Buzzer, and I have 21 episodes recorded of Card Sharks right now. I could go through at any time. So here's how. But the funny part of that is I also have there's repeats, but I just haven't 81 episodes of Press Your Luck. Right. So that's I like watching old game shows. But so here's how sick I am. Watching Card Sharks like 2 weeks ago, and it's like one of the old, like super old, 1978 version, which was great because one of the contestants is this Australian dude named Richard, and I forgot his or not Richard, it was Dick something or other. And he was a disco DJ is what they called him, and he was dressed like a disco DJ on the show. And this is 1978, so it's perfect. And he's I'm listening to him. And I go, this kind of sounds like the Richard Blade, who's the like host of Jack FM. It's like I think he's syndicated, but he's probably more known out here in LA for the 80s lunch. Or whatever it's called, like the flashback 80s lunch or whatever on Jack FM radio station. And I go, this guy sounds just like, if I looked it up, sure enough, it was him in like 1978 as a contestant on Card Sharks. So it's sad that I even recognize that, but it was pretty amazing, an amazing find. So watch old game shows, folks. That's my binge recommendation to you.
Series that finished up last summer, Person of Interest, that'll be mine. Started watching it thinking it was a dumb crime procedural show, and then it got smart on me.
So. That show didn't have a... I know Numbers had a 3 in the title.
Yeah, no, it's but just...
Person of Interest didn't have like a dumb thing
no,
like that.
No, just Person of Interest.
Oh, wait, that was Ben from Lost and yeah. Jesus.
Correct.
Yeah, Caviezel and Linus.
Yep.
It's nice. All right.
Do you think the Dodgers will have a relief pitcher to pitch more than 90 innings next season?
No.
That's
it. I mean, like they could, they, you know, we talk all we want about like the sort of modernization. It's still going to be hard to top 90, I think.
Famously, we know Eric doesn't drink coffee, so this is for Jacob. Is pumpkin spice lattes the worst annual fall tradition? No, because you know, if you like how they taste, that's fine. Plus, the worst annual fall tradition is starting Christmas in October.
Oh, that's pretty
easily
bad.
The worst.
Where you have like all the decorations starting.
It's not even like Thanksgiving, folks. That's when you can break out all the Christmas stuff.
Not even that day. You have to wait till at least Friday. Thanksgiving.
I am okay with Thanksgiving night watching like It's a Wonderful Life and breaking out some music. I'm okay with that.
The music is okay, but...
It has to be, like I said, the sun has to have set on Thanksgiving Day.
For sure, at least. Yeah, and trying to think, and I'm an occasional coffee drinker. Rarely. Like, but no, it's more like... like if I go out to breakfast or something, which is super rare, but I'll get a coffee once in a while at a Denny's, you know, or whatever. Like
Denny's has great coffee.
And so I will, and like I don't know. Other than that, yeah, I just don't. I don't do the. Yeah.
And if you want a hot beverage stuff, that tastes like this, you know, nutmeg and cinnamon that has a little bit of caffeine in it, go for it. I'm not going to judge you. It's the poor way to drink coffee itself, but, you know, who cares? Anyways, 5. Last question, and then we're closing it up. Put in the order of what you won't miss to what you won't really go out of your way to watch. Order the events if your team is not playing. We have the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, and the Stanley Cup Finals.
I mean, I'll always watch the World Series.
I always have the World Series on. I'm not necessarily, you know, my dislike for most national broadcasters is so high that it's usually on mute or I'm at a bar watching it. But I'll pay attention to it.
Yeah, I actually don't mind Joe Buck, and I like John Smoltz.
John Smoltz. I don't know where this tolerance for Joe Buck comes from, but it's not from me,
yeah.
Bucko.
So I don't mind it, but I think if just because the Super Bowl is a singular event, that's probably like the top for me that I'll definitely watch.
It used to be, but I just don't like the NFL anymore.
Yeah,
it's just such a bungled league lately.
I like the head trauma and the violence towards. No, it's kidding. I know what you mean. But
like last year was the first Super Bowl I completely did not watch. I think I watched.
What?
I was watching Oscar-nominated shorts instead. That's how NPR I went. It was really funny, by the way, to be in a movie theater where it was Oscar-nominated shorts, and the entire crowd, you could tell they were subscribers to their local NPR station.
Well,
it
sure.
It was hilarious just how stereotypical the crowd was.
No
sports
say,
ball for me, I say.
No, let's just say there were... The city's entire population of elbow patches were in that theater.
There were more than four, I'll say that much.
Nice. There's something to be said for, man, that has to be kind of, for like, I like being in a something that's not crowded, or like when everyone else is doing something else. Like, I can't imagine what, like, because it's just I didn't grow up this way, but like imagine like being like a Jewish person on Christmas, like that has to be like the
and you know, to clarify,
if you or something.
Yeah, I made these plans before I realized that it was Super Bowl Sunday, and the group I was going with, none of them are sports fans, so no one else noticed. And then I figured it out, and went, it was too late to change plans, so I went with it. And yeah, no, that's as much as I can imagine that feeling is. This is as close as it went. It just was weird. Twitter was weird because everyone's talking about the Super Bowl on Twitter, and I'm just like, let's talk about that Ukrainian animated short. It was really touching.
But I thought what made this weird for me too is like, I guess because you made the plans already, it's difficult. But I think like for you, you would have loved to see Peyton Manning's like last hurrah.
And I would have, but
you made the plans.
Yeah, plans and. Again, my tolerance for the sport has gone down a lot. My highest is actually the Stanley Cup Finals. Live hockey, playoff hockey is the best.
Yeah,
bar none. Go World Series, then NBA Finals, and then Super Bowl. I guess the Super Bowl is higher than NBA Finals, but it's close. I watched all of the NBA Finals last year, and like I said, I found a way to be okay missing the Super Bowl. It felt weird.
I'm almost the inverse order, like because just I like I said, I'm gonna watch more hockey, and I do watch the.
You
Stanley
really
Cup
should
finals.
Watch playoff hockey is just the best.
I do watch playoff hockey, but I mean, if we're talking like it's not the other three sports for me. So like, sure. Or at least, like the Super Bowl, like I said, singular event, it's a thing. So definitely watching the Super Bowl. Definitely always watching the World Series. And then NBA Finals, still definitely watching. It's like, there's certain years where I don't care for like either team that's necessarily in it, but like
TV. There may be some years where like I'm much more okay missing a World Series game or two. If it's, you know, Phillies and Red Sox or something, like I just like my care is just so small. my active disdain, if my active disdain for one or both of the teams is high, then you know, I might miss a game.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so I'm trying to think.
So maybe the Super Bowl should be higher, even though I still don't quite like the sport much.
I'm certain I've missed an NBA Finals game in recent years, just probably because of baseball, you know. Or it's just like I have the finals are in the background or something. I'm probably the same for hockey in that I don't go out of my way to watch it. If I'm home, I'll watch it, but I may be like, oh, okay, that's on tonight. I'm not, you know. So, but I can't remember the last time I didn't watch a World Series game. So I don't know. So and same Super Bowl, I've watched them all since. 84 seasons, the Niners and Dolphins. So, What a shame! Like so I grew up like liking the Raiders, and I literally like the first Super Bowl I really watched was the one after the Raiders lost one.
See, this is how it feels as a Dodger fan whose family didn't move to LA until 1990. Like this is how I feel. And granted, I was two in the '88 World Series, but that's how I feel. Missed my window.
You were the new Cubs. You were like clamoring at 2 years old. No, we got to get out there.
I was wearing like Cubs onesies at the time. They'll bring us full circle. The Dodgers are now in sole possession of the record of most consecutive playoff appearances without reaching a World Series. And the Cubs hadn't made the World Series, they would have had that regardless of the Cubs making the World Series or not. It's very depressing.
Yeah, it really kind of sucks.
Yep.
To be honest with. And then also, it's not necessarily just this year, but the Dodgers now, their current drought of even getting to the World Series is the longest in franchise history. Like,
this is a great team. Time.
Like, and I guess the Dodgers recognize their history starting in 1890. Right. They really started in 1884, but that was like American Association. Plus, there wasn't really a World Series like till 1903. So, if you count 1890 as the first year, they made the World Series in 1916. So that's 26 years without. Now they're at 28. If you go back to 1884, it's different, but I don't think you necessarily can.
No, we can be depressed. It's fine.
Yeah. So they went 26 and they went, then they, 1920, they made it. So then 20 years without, and then they were started really good in 1941. Then it was like, you know, and then, ugh. And then, so now 28 years, not even a return trip to the World Series. So it's getting up there. But I don't know. I still, that's what's so weird. Like, I do think, like, the way they're obviously set up for a pretty good, decent run here. Got good infrastructure. Long-term looks decent, prospect-wise. But it's just a matter of you have to, at some point, win. I think they're setting themselves up to do that long-term. But we'll see. You think it's going to pay off eventually, and there's an inordinate amount of patience that's required, going through this. I guess that's just the nature of the beast. So, anyway, on that positive note,
there's always tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll do this again back at you in 2 weeks, where we'll dig a little deeper into the offseason, have a little better handle on free agency. Possibly even Chooch's option status. And so we'll talk about that then. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you later.